Hey, Olga.
Morning. There's two of us?
I think there will be more. I hope so.
Yeah, could be.
Yeah, Erin.
Okay, good.
Hi, Erin.
Hello.
At least Susan will be coming. All the rest is sick from WorfCon. Hope I hope not. Oh, there they are.
Hello, sorry I'm late. Back to
No
back meetings, I
problem.
swear. So many meetings. Oh,
You
we
are
are. Go
back
ahead.
into the usual mode after WolfCon.
I guess so. It's been a really rough re-entry, but here I am. We were sad not to see many German libraries represented at WolfCon. You were not alone. Many people just didn't come. I mean, I wouldn't come to the US if I were in Europe either, honestly, but here we are. It was a bummer though, because it was I mean, there were very few international attendees really in general. I mean, maybe people were attending online. You never know who's there online, but not a lot in person, that is for sure.
Oh, there were a lot online. To the keynotes, I think there were about 100 people every time online.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
That's something. Yeah, we couldn't really tell. I mean, you can't really see on a keynote how many people are on the Zoom if you're not on Zoom. So
Yes.
that's helpful to know. I was making note of sort of how many people were online at the sessions I was at when you could see. And there was decent attendance, you know, it was usually 15 to 30 or something like that, depending on the session.
What about in person? How many people were there?
I don't know. I would say it was a decent turnout. Like I felt like it was about the same as the last one I was in person, which was the last one in Chicago 2 years
There
ago.
was a little over 200, 200 to a little over 200.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, it's
I
pretty
mean, I
good.
don't know compared to relative, I don't know what the relative to other years is, though.
I think London was like 220, 230 people on site. We were a little less, but the other problem was too is a lot of our international colleagues weren't com didn't feel comfortable joining us because of we have a crazy administration. That's the only way to explain it. We have a crazy administration. I also know that there was a lot of even domestic people that didn't go because of, again, like the insanity around travel and what you identify gender-wise and what is on your passport and license now because of new executive orders. And I know a few people who did not come because of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and the
There's
part of the
that.
country, some people didn't come want to come to Missouri. Like there was just a lot of
And
factors.
Yes, and also oddly enough happened to fall on Ramadan. Is that it? No.
Is that
Which
true?
No.
yeah, it was no. I forget which Jewish holiday it is.
Oh, it's a Jewish holiday. No, Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah. So I
Yeah.
had it was an R word. I got close. Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's right. That was last week.
Yeah.
Not ideal for some people as well.
Ramadan is Muslim, isn't it? Okay. I'll get my religions mixed up.
All right. Well,
So,
I did
hopefully,
actually go ahead, Cornelia.
hopefully, we can see a lot of you in Europe next year. But this might be even problematic, more problematic due to cut fundings.
Yeah, it's hard to know. So for folks who didn't hear, next year it's going to be in Prague. Although someone suggested, like, do we even have any libraries that are using Folio in the Czech Republic? Does anyone know the answer to that?
I don't know, but I think we have developers in the Czech Republic. So does that count?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe. I think a
Maybe.
national library was interested at some point. I don't know if they are implemented or not.
Yeah. But it seems weird because, like, who's going to do the local? Didn't we have a bunch of people in Kansas City at the University of Missouri doing local planning? Like, who would they have?
There was a well there's and I just joined this year, so I don't know the full layout of it. There is the WUFCON planning group, and then there's a board. The board, and I know Alec was one of them. I think Jennifer was the other one. Actually, already went to Prague and scoped out where they can hold conferences and hotels and that sort of thing. So they kind of, I guess they do it a year ahead of time. So that's why they were asking at WolfCon, how would people feel about instead of hosting next year in the United States, hosting somewhere like maybe Mexico or Canada or something of that nature, have it still in the continental United States, but not the United States
Yeah.
proper. Because they're going to be investigating 2017's WolfCon. Because
27.
Because they try to do it a year ahead of time because there's just so much logistics around it.
Right.
So yeah, they already scoped out. I thought they said that the sessions were going to be held because there was a question that was asked at some point in time about hotels. And I know they said no, next year is not going to have a hotel block like it did this year because it's going to be hosted at a university or an institution. So the hotels are going to be separate from that, like unlike this year where it was hosted at a hotel. So I think they already have a place there that they're thinking of doing it. Plus side is I was talking to my supervisor and I was already told that I probably might be I sh they're going to try to make sure that I go just because of all the stuff I do in Folio. But I also put a plug out there if you want to go and are worried about funding, there's usually some sort of stipend given to people who lead workshops. So if we do the Monday workshop again next year, I strongly recommend coming up with a workshop and putting in a request for that because it might help pay for you to get to Prague.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Good to know. All right. So for folks that let's see, if you are interested in watching the recordings of sessions or ones that you couldn't go to, or if you didn't go at weren't able to attend at all, those are on the general, gotta now find it. It took me forever to find it again. It was like, oh, it's in the general Slack channel, not the Folio general. I was like, I'm sure it was here. And then whatever. So it was not. So I'm gonna throw in, it's there, but here's the YouTube link to the playlist, which is all the WolfCon sessions so far. I haven't looked recently, but the all of the concurrent sessions were up. But there's more processing that has to happen for the keynote. So those were not up as of yesterday. But Peter Murray at Index Data is working on those, and those should be up soon, hopefully. And But yeah, there's lots of great sessions. So if there were things you weren't able to get to or you didn't attend at all and you want to look at stuff, there's all kinds of good content on there. And any other kind of WolfCon things post WolfCon? Well, also, I think we are meeting. My calendar has ended in September. I think we are meeting on Monday. We'll probably plan to meet on Monday and do a WolfCon with a larger group. So I don't want to spend too much time here on that. All right. Are we ready to dig into tickets? Very exciting. I do just want to say one more WolfCon thing, that as we were talking about this ticket review, I got lots of good feedback from POs as I was telling folks that we were working on this project of closing tickets and reviewing and whatever. Multiple POs were like, thank you for doing this. So our work is appreciated, and if that keeps us going. All right, so I am going to share my screen. Cornelia, are you able to keep up with the usual spreadsheet?
Will
And
do. Yeah.
awesome, thank you. All right, I will make my font bigger, don't worry. Oh, I'm on the wrong screen. I don't know what's getting bigger, but here we go. Okay. All right. So let me remind myself where we are. 34:58. Look at, I think all of these are. We made a lot of progress. Here's 34:58. All right. This is 50 out of 93. We're over halfway there. All right. This one has a status of in refinement. That is not a typical status that we see. This is a request one. Oh, is this an epic? I guess it is. That's why this is okay. So this is a big one. We usually most of our I'm going to click on another one so you can see. Most of ours are within epics and are feature level requests. This one with its little, I don't know, lightning bolt, is that what that's supposed to be? That one is, this is an epic. So I don't think we're going to be closing this one. I would say RA further refinement. I don't think we have to talk about this one because this is a big one that we already have. Steph is working on. We've been talking about this with her. There are a lot of things we may see these other UX prods down the line because these are all 34, 5400s. Feel like we talked about to staff about these.
I was talking to somebody at WolfCon, and from what I heard is they're actually making progress with the script that's going through and breaking up the serials and volume and number issues into readable values. So I think this
Right.
is progressing along.
These are all down here. All the these are in our list. So all right,
Yes,
so then
I don't
let's
think, yeah, I don't think we need to put a label on it because it's in its
an
current
epic.
work.
Yeah, okay, there it is. All right, cool.
I would suggest not even touching them just because they're an active, not active, the active refinement and
Yeah.
investigation.
So we already know that they're happening. All right. This one is update Kafka message queues for select circulation storage record types to use outbox pattern. I feel like we're going to need Tom's expertise on this one. What is
This
Kafka
is
messaging I know something about, but it's like in the back of my brain. I'm not.
Kafka is the system that is used for intermodule communication. So it receives and sent and transfers it receives and transmits messages between the modules.
Okay.
This is more of a back end task that was written up as UX prod by Brooks. So it's probably, yeah. So he has a whole bunch of other ones in here. So I'm not sure if this should even be an epic or not, but this is basically changing the way the modules for circulation communicates.
Gotcha. So it doesn't look like we need to necessarily.
No, this is Tim and Clea and Brooks and that chatting back and forth, and this will eventually land in Vega's lap to do.
Okay, even though it's on the Valeris, this is on Valeris right now.
Yeah,
Because that's
Valeris
how it
might.
ended up in this field, in this where do we see? Oh, it's under here, sorry. Yeah. So this development team is all of these tickets are Valeris, so right now. Right
Not sure
now.
why it's under Valeris, unless if this is their consuming. Or they ran into issues and they decided this. I know that this is also on Vega's roadmap of what we keep trying to fit it into sprints.
Yeah.
But as you can see, it's over 10 days. So it's like a 2, 3 week, 2, 3 weeks worth of work for them to just flip this over. So,
Okay.
yeah, I would just say just leave this one
Okay.
alone.
All righty. And Kafka's not the one of the systems we're getting rid of, right? That's one that's made continuing.
No, the system that we're getting rid of is PubSub. So the circ
Right.
modules still are using PubSub, which is archaic and causes issues. That's why we have the issues with like the fee fine blocks not automatically removing and all the other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's on Vega's roadmap to replace PubSub with Kafka, and they were going to do it in
I
two
see.
loops. I'm just not sure when we're going to get it on their roadmap. We were going to try to do it for U and V. But it now seems like other things are coming up that's going to have to get pushed out yet again. But yeah.
But some things are already working on Kafka, it looks like. Is that right?
The majority of Folio is on Kafka.
Okay.
Yeah. The majority of Folio is on Kafka. And we run into issues too sometimes because they have to translate the PubSub events over to Kafka events. And sometimes we run into issues with that too. So.
I wish they would
Okay.
fix that sooner than later, and they keep postponing it. It's so depressing that we need to manually unblock students. I don't know if we can promote somehow that it's important to fix that issue.
Yeah, I mean it's as I said, it's at the top of mine and Anne's list for Vega. The problem is it literally we were able to split the we were able to split this into two pieces. The one is kind of adding the base of the Kafka system to all the circulation modules, and then the second one is actually moving the messages from PubSub over to Kafka. It's just that it's such a big issue that the amount of work that's required to do it, just even in those two pieces, would probably take up at least 2 sprints or 2 weeks, just to do each one of those pieces. And because of other things that Vega has to do and other priorities are coming in, it's still a high priority, but those things get prioritized over top of it. So it gets pushed down the line. I don't know if with this extended Trillium, if that's going to help alleviate some of that or not. But yeah, it's definitely on our high priority list. It's just finding the time to do it because it is such a massive lift to do it.
All
Okay,
right.
thank you.
No.
This one we've already looked at its corollaries, the multiple fee fine charges, and multiple requests on notice. This is sort of in the same vein, multiple items on aged to lost notices. These are already in here. I don't know why it's blocked by multiple items on a request for request. This seems almost easier than the request notice because these aged to lost ones often come in a bunch overnight and they're already batched. So it seems like an easier problem than the no the request notice, but that's just me as a non-developer.
Yeah,
Yeah,
you,
I think
true.
it was meant the request notices are of higher priority.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe. But true and untrue, because remember, if you have short-term loans that are hourly
Right.
or by the minute, Those can age to loss throughout the day.
Right. Yeah, it depends on the age to loss
Yeah.
notice.
Yeah.
All right. So
So
I would put this in further refinement, I think, because we still, it sounds like people still want it. I mean, it seems likely people would want it. And it looks like it might need more fleshing out. Because, as Tom mentioned, there are these two different flavors, and maybe even they need to be two. Yeah. Or maybe there needs to be, I don't know. I don't know who decides when something is sort of needs an umbrella UX prod. Right, like an, I don't know, epic level versus, it's not, I don't know.
Well,
I
I mean,
don't quite understand it. This is a Jira question of like, as we think about prioritizing and putting things on the prioritization, like, do we make it one feature that has all these moving parts, or how do we to prioritize the whole bundle? Or it's an open question, I'm not sure.
yeah, as I say, the Epics, and this is actually already part of an Epic UX Prod 18.
But
I know.
that's the whole patron notices. That's like the
Yeah,
biggest
exactly.
epic.
Yeah. I mean, and they can be used in one of two ways. I usually create epics if I have a feature that has multiple phases. So I will create an epic that has all three of those phases underneath it. But if RA wants to take and group these specific types of notices together under a new epic, I think that's perfectly reasonable as well. Because you can
Okay.
then say, we need these are the notices we need, and point to a specific epic with the other ones underneath it. So it can be used either way. Normally the PO will group them, but I think right now the PO is Stephanie. So just pinging her and saying, "Hey, do you care if we regroup these into epics?" I honestly don't think she would care.
Can you put that in the spreadsheet, Cornelia, where it's just so that we have a follow-up area to do follow-up? So, conditional use of snippet templates. Allow notice templates to accept conditions like if a token ABC,
Yes,
then
yes, and
use
yes.
text. Okay, use it external query scripts to, for this to run nightly. So what kinds of, I don't quite understand what snippet is the snippet a chunk of other tokens put together, or is it some?
No, this would be an extension. I mean, unfortunately, this isn't that clear. Would be an extension of mustache to probably handlebars.
I have no idea what that means.
So the templating engine that Folio uses is called Mustache. It's why
Okay.
it's those little curly brackets, and you put things in there.
Yeah.
Mustache is a very basic templating library that allows you to do some simple things like some loops and that sort of thing. Handlebars extends that by allowing you to do a logic check. So what you could do, this would either be custom functionality that would be placed within Folio's templating engine, or it'd be switching to something like handlebars, where you could say exactly what it says. Like, think of your footer in your emails. You could say, if item permanent location equals this code, then I want you to show this text or show
Gotcha.
this text, that sort of thing. This would greatly extend the flexibility of the templates. So you could do things like if something was recalled, you could show different find policies, you could switch on material types, what
Yeah.
find information was shown, all that fun stuff.
Okay, so this is definitely a further refinement. David definitely wants this for recalls or
Yeah, this
different
would have to.
templates. I mean, you can either have different notice logic templates, or this solution is in a given template, you could actually switch it out. So,
Exactly.
gotcha. All right, further refinement. All right, remove send errors in the circ that are due to anonymization, circ log. Okay, I can't even see that.
Oh, hasn't someone been working on this? I remember helping someone set up a use case on Slack or on Snapshot.
Oh, isn't this
There
those
has been.
weird send errors where like there was a trigger, but no, nothing to ever interact with the trigger was set up or something like that?
This might be a duplicate.
Okay, there's this one which is closed. Gonna look at it because I want to see if it's closed, not because it's done or closed. Done. When was this one done? Oh, this was done a long time ago. Okay.
No, this is not it. Tom, where you were in the discussion, it was on Slack somewhere about changing the logic in the notice processing, like first checking if a loan is closed and then pulling in the data. Oh.
Yeah, it's kind of ringing a bell.
If I'm following correctly, this is definitely something that new implementers get confused with, that I have tons of messages saying we had an error, we couldn't send it, and we have to say, well, right, well, there's not actually anything to send at that point, so I agree we probably don't need an error in the log.
This should be circ log, right? Is that right? Remove send errors in the circ log that are due to
Yes.
anonymization. Okay. Just
Yes,
before,
it
right?
says further down in the description.
That's what I
And
thought.
there
Okay.
has been there must be another ticket. There has been discussion on this, I remember.
All right, can you throw in the spreadsheet? Let's put further refinement, but then will you put in the spreadsheet check for duplicate ticket so that we can circle back?
Yes.
Right. SIP 2, allow configuration of user patron identifier fields. We don't do any SIP stuff, so I'm going to rely on other people to say whether this needs anything.
Oh, I have seen this. So normally when you're checking things out, you could use, for example, barcode or a custom field. Some libraries will have an app that has something that's slightly different from the barcode. But from what I understand, according to, I don't know if it's the SIP2 protocol itself or Folio that limits it to a single identifier. So you could do some scripting that like returns a compound object, and that, but it would be nice if you could make it as easy as, okay, I'm going to do self-checkout kiosk the same way I do my other checkouts and not have that be a limitation.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think this is on the SIP2 side. I should say the Folio SIP2 connector that just uses the barcode field, and that's it.
All right, so that looks like this probably may need some additional refinement because it's still in draft.
I know there is some work being done on SIP2 for one of the libraries, but I'm not sure if they'd be willing to pick this up or not.
Customized title level request patron notices by patron group. So either integrate title level request with circ rules or make this, see attachment, configuration more granular.
Yeah, so title level requests, there's three or four different notices that can't be in the circulation rules because the circulation rules are based on items. And since the title request is at the instance level, there is no location data, material data, anything of that nature.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it would be right now there's just the confirmation, cancellation, expiration notices. It would be extending these out. I think this is probably okay for further refinement. It's not high on our list because we don't use title level requests, but I know a lot of universities are starting to use it. And having this granularity might be helpful. It might also be a good opportunity to look at circulation rules and how we might be able to integrate this with circulation rules. But
Right. Does it make sense to have it? And I guess, I mean, like it looks like we would have notice information in different places, right? Like, so now notices would be configured for this, would be configured not in the notice templates or policies, but in the title level request piece.
correct.
So.
Yeah. But the problem is to integrate this with circulation rules, you would have to have a new flag or filter or something saying,
Yeah.
do this for title level requests and this for item level requests.
Oh yeah, you thought this 2 years ago too, 3 years ago. All right, let's put this in further refinement then. Sorry, I'm just looking at the
I
chat
say we
here.
run fast.
For this inReach
Yeah.
one? Well, I don't use inReach, so I don't know. It looks like this one's already in refinement. Let's see when it was last touched here. Gosh. Oh, in January. So somebody is actively refining this one. I did, by the way, at WolfCon go to the session where we talked about Jira and all of these rankings and whether or not, like, what would make Jira better, basically. I did say something about these rankings are useful for us when we are doing this review. But for new templates, though, they should not be there. So all these that have none. We talked about this, where it's like this, the fact that these all say none means that this feature was new, since all of these libraries did this prioritization. So, but it's still in the template for new features. So when you make a new UX prod, they're all there. So that was one of the things that came up. All right, so I guess this one's already in refinement, so I don't know if we need to flag this one at all. Guess we could call it refinement, or I don't know. It's hard to say who is working on it. Tim, I guess, is the person. I don't know. If these ones that are already in refinement, I guess I want to make sure that we have flagged it, because otherwise we will be like, did we look at this one? So maybe just put it in further refinement, and once it may get refined before we look at it again. All right. Circ log update, deleted item
So wait
records. Oh,
a
sorry.
second,
Yeah.
for the stuff in chat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lawrence asked
Oh,
for
how
the
does this
different.
one differ between these two? All right, I gotta see if it opens in my right window. How does this one, multiple items on age to loss notices,
I
differ
just added
from
periodical part.
you what?
I just added the periodical part, so you can disregard
Oh.
that.
I've answered on chat because those are different notices. Just wanted to draw your attention to that.
Oh, okay.
Because there are two different triggers in notices. One is for the item is age to last, the item status changes, and this is the 3540, and the others is for charging the age to last fee.
Okay, thanks. Didn't get that.
Okay, so this one is, oh, okay.
Okay,
You can
so.
massage a fee. Do you really need to send a notice? Just seems kind of odd to me.
Well, this is if
But,
you charge HLA. Wait, does this mean this is already done? So these are the overnight. Oh,
yes.
right. We do have this ability to bundle these aged to lost items already for the overnight situation in the same way we do loans, right? Because that's what this looks like to me. The
Yes,
multiple fee
it's
fines in a single
done.
notice. But
Yes,
then.
so the one that is still open is not for charging the fee. It's for the item status change.
Well, we're actually ages too long. You send a notice. I get that.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. I didn't understand that. Kind of
Do, oh,
confusing.
because you can send a notice if you don't charge something? Is
Yes,
that?
there is. There is in loan notices, there is a trigger in loan notices. Item ages to lost.
Okay. So this, that's interesting that you can do it for charges, but not for the, for this.
You're
That is.
saying 3540 is not the fee, it's the item status change.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I'll add that to the title then. Hopefully, I'll
Okay.
make it a little bit. Okay. That makes sense.
That makes sense. That does make sense. Okay. Thank you for drawing my attention to that. That looks, I think that makes more sense.
I also found a duplicate to the circle lock error messages.
Ah. Perfect. Oh, and this one's, wait, you think
This
this is a
is
duplicate of what we just said we needed further refinement?
the one that we said check for duplicates.
Oh, right. So this is the
The
duplicate.
remove send errors in circlip that are due to anonymization.
Yeah.
This is the one. Yeah. And that's been done for Trillium.
Oh, it's been done for Trillium. Okay. I'm like, it says done. Is it really trying? Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. So, do we think we can close this other one then?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Yay, we closed. Hooray. All right, this is perfect. I feel a little more successful because this is the first one we've closed today. All right, so 3574. All right, a proposed closure. Oh, do we already do this one? The in reach one is in refinement. We said we would do in refinement. All right, this is where we are. Circ log update, deleted item records. So if something, an item record is deleted, and you can still click through from circ log, an error occurs. Bad user experience. Well, agreed. So the UI update, allow the user to understand that the item record has been deleted or can't be found. Or removing the link and indicating that the item is. So yeah, so we could just make it. I was going to say, sometimes you see things in the circ log that are not linkable, that are not, yeah. That are not, no longer hyperlinked. So there are mockups on the Google Drive. Yeah, so something like that. This seems like a really good solution. As it is, there's also this feature of, I don't know if people have seen this, but the, or thought about this, but if you change the barcode for something, like You can get the barcode is what's stored in the circ log, not the UUID. So like if the barcode changes, it can be a feature or a bug, depending on if you're trying to track down something that the barcode changed on. So that's an aside, but something else that
No,
is
I
unique.
do wonder. I mean, it's not this feature, I agree, but we did have this with the library recently that they were confused because the patron's user record clearly showed a number of open loans. But if you go to the circ log and do a lookup of that patron, so you know you're getting the right record, it's not based on the barcode, it inserts their current barcode for the lookup and doesn't find all the circ log entries that were based on their prior barcode. So I do think it's worth thinking about.
Right, because it works on user and item. I forgot about that. You're right. Ugh, so annoying. I don't know if there's a feature for that. I'll make a note to look that up. I don't know what the I'm not exactly sure what the desired behavior should be. I mean, everything else in Folio works on the UUID, which is why it's sort of an outlier. Amelia?
Yeah, I think for privacy also, we should probably be using UUIDs because if a user record is deleted and there are non-anonymized records, the barcode can lead back to an individual, but the UUID cannot.
Right. That's right. That's a good point. All right, I'm going to see if there is a feature already. And if not, we can put that on our list of things to write up. So this one seems good to me. I don't know if it probably needs a little more refinement because it's not quite ready for prime time. It's still in draft. Another circ log, capture title details of deleted item records.
I'm going to be a radical here. How about we
Yeah.
do refinement for this, and RA does a working group on the circ log of how we could possibly improve the entire circ log.
Does feel like these are coming into a bundle, like we have a bundle of them, including some things that are not showing up. Yeah, I like that.
I'm not sure with this one. It kind of goes along the same thing. If we delete an item, do we really want the details of that item still in the circ log? What would be the point, I guess?
There's not really a way to do that easily, right? I mean, like, the
Yeah.
circ log is just these placeholders, so I'm not sure how that link out to other information, right? It's like just writing this stuff into a table.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because you can either do it one of two ways. You can have the circulation log when something happens that all the data is written to the circ log, but then you run into the issue where we just had with the deleted, with the one before that, or a barcode change where it has to listen to Kafka events and then update all those entries based on the Kafka events. Or you use the UUIDs, which means that if the item is deleted, you no longer have the title information or the item detail.
I think what I'd want to know is if anybody is like crawling that to do reporting from. And so they want to know like what was our total circ for that year. They're going to go to the circ log even for 5 years ago or something. I don't know if that's a real thing that's happening, but that seems like the reason why it would need to persist in that case.
I think it's a possibility, but do they need the title information, or do they just need to know that that there was an item checked out? You see what I mean?
Right, if it's
Right,
gone, it's
because
not like they could do a lookup to call number or other like things they'd want a crosstab on. Yeah, I don't know.
right, yeah, they would just have those barcodes or those individual counts. It would not, because it's all interconnected, it's not really drawing any of that. The circ log itself doesn't have all the detail. So hard to say. No, I like that idea. That's not a radical idea, Tom, to think about this. I do think that there are a cluster of these that need work. So further refinement on this one. Uh-oh, another in reach. Ability to activate, deactivate ongoing record contribution on demand. This one's also in refinement. I'm guessing it's Tim here. So this is probably a similar situation to the other one where we looked at. I'm going to guess this was done in January. Oh no, November. Oh, longer ago, actually. Okay, so these seem related. I guess further refinement for this one, again, it seems like there've been active work on this in the past, but still need some work since it's in refinement. Add ref ID value to the display of a custom field in settings. Users. Do you know what that is, Amelia?
So I know that the ref ID is created when the custom field is created, but I'm not actually sure how it's used.
Looks like it would be helpful if it could be displayed in the UI to understand the behavior of the underlying data. Okay, so you create a multi-select. And there's the ref. Oh, I see. It's just kind of a streamlined version of the.
I would just mention there are areas of Folio that do display in that way, right? I'm trying to think which ones do and don't, but something like
The circles.
expense classes. You create an expense class and it's like, okay, we automatically created this code based on that name that you entered, maybe.
Okay.
But it is inconsistent. I think there are other places that don't foreground that in the UI, but maybe it should be more consistent.
Display somewhere and read only since it can't be changed once the field is created. So maybe it could just be, well, you create the custom field in settings.
This might have been Erin created this, and she was doing a lot of automation scripting.
Okay.
So I know for myself some of the custom fields that I have created, I had to go into the API to find what the field name was in the JSON as well as the value. So maybe that's what she's asking for, or the reason why she's asking.
That's what I'd expect. Yeah, they're trying to use API without having to figure out what the codes are.
So, and it should just be in the settings, right? You would just put it, it sounds like you just put it here. When you create the custom field, you would just have it visible. You could have it just in this settings, right? Would that achieve what
Potentially
this
not.
is doing, what is asking for?
I
It
think
seems like.
so. I think so.
Yeah.
Do we think it needs more refinement? It's in draft. So I guess it's got to go in further refinement. It doesn't really seem like it needs a whole lot more work, but again, I still am unclear on when we can open something if there's no, like, I feel like only POs can actually open something. Or should, I don't know. Because I don't know if it's dev, I can't, don't feel like I could say whether something's dev ready or not.
There might be some more questions to this. Like the other one would be some of the questions I can think of is what do you do when you're initially creating this? Does it show the reference ID or does it hide that information? Is it displayed in line or is it displayed as like an advanced feature? Then you also have to decide on the preview pane if it's shown there or not. Like,
All right.
It seems to me like we could implement this kind of similar to the way that the folio number, the UUID for the user, is displayed in users, where when you're creating a new record, it just shows the field as a dash. And then once you save it, it actually shows you the UUID of the record that was created.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Cornelia, can you throw that in a comment on this one?
No,
That.
sorry, because I don't still get what it is about. Please, can someone else do this?
Okay. All right. Well, we're almost done, so
It's
I'll
getting
make a
late for
note.
me, yeah.
No, it's fine. Understood. All right. But that one should be refinement. All right, let's do one more. Notify user when age to lost actual cost is not billed. Currently, staff cannot inform the patron if staff decides not to bill the actual cost of an age to lost item. So it would have to be in the billing, in the modal, so that the checkbox is you could decide at the moment that you are not billing. And then the template, there would need to be a new template.
Yeah, a new template, new trigger.
Yeah, I would not use the lost item fee chart. You need a separate template, specifically for, actual cost, do not bill or not billed, because that's really a unique. I don't think that exists in other ways. I mean, if you do the age to lost notification without waiting for it to actually charge a fee, then that is one. But this isn't the same because it ages to lost, and then this is always going to be a manual. Do not bill is always going to be a manual actual cost function. So, all right. I think this one needs some refinement. It does seem like it is. Let's see if there's any comments on it. No. Is it new-ish? I'm trying to figure out what this seems like. It must be new-ish because actual cost wasn't really a function.
Yeah.
Oh, November 22nd. So, I
That's
mean,
ish. That's
22.
newish.
New-ish. I know it's all relative, right? All right, we'll call this one refinement. Okay, let's wrap up. I have another meeting at noon. I've been in back-to-back meetings since 8. Pretty done. I feel like Cordelia. It's not even late in the day, Cordelia. All right, so we are going to leave off on 3887. We will pick up. Why is it not showing me what my actual, how many we are at? It's showing 93 of 93. I want to know how much closer we got, but we're getting close. We're getting close to the maybe a couple more sessions and we'll
Yeah,
get through this one.
it's 52 on the spreadsheet.
Okay, oh, perfect. Okay, that's good. We're getting there. So, next week, so we're gonna meet on, stop sharing my screen so you don't have to look at all I'm doing. Next week is the 6th. So we do have a meeting on the 6th. And Tom, are you gonna kick off your, are you gonna be ready to kick off your meetings on the 9th, your fee fine, or do you want more time?
I mean, if you want to take more time to do this, that's fine.
No, we're only gonna do this every other week. The question is, do you want
Let me think about it. I'm probably going to need
okay.
more time.
Okay.
So.
That sounds good. But we will plan to meet on the 2nd to do a WolfCon wrap. And if there's anything else, Cornelia, you want to touch base with offline,
You mean the
we'll let you
sixth?
know. Sorry, the 6th. Today's the
Today's the
2nd.
second. Yeah. That's like you're
6th.
confusing me.
I'm sorry. Monday the 6th. And we will have no meeting on Monday the 13th. It's a holiday in the US.
Oh, it is cool.
It's Indigenous Peoples Day weekend. Monday, yes.
Is what
I
happens when
know.
you work in a little dark room with no lights and no social interaction. You forget what holidays are.
Yes. Well, private institution, Tom, we don't get it off, so I don't know.
This is true. This is true. So I'm salary. I never get any days off.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? Alrighty, thanks all. We will pick this up in 2 weeks on the 6th, not the 16th. 16th, is that right? Yes, that is 2 weeks. So we'll pick it up on the 16th.
Cool.
Thanks,
Sounds good.
everybody.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone.
Bye.